First couple pages in. This morning I'm starting on a power series. I spent the last little time here talking about purity. How many knows we need to be pure? Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The theme this year is purity, power, and reaching the people. I said purity, power, and reaching the people. Somebody say amen in here. And it's Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1. Genesis 1:1. Tell me when you got it. It says, in the beginning, somebody say in the beginning. Listen, before it all kicked about, God's already been there. If you haven't realized yet, He is the Creator. You didn't come out of some goo. You didn't transform into something else. He made you just like Him. How many of us, that's an awesome thing. And then He breathed in us the breath of life and we became a living soul. In the beginning, God created. There's the bottom line with that. I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory because I proved it wrong. Now, do I believe that God could speak it and there it is? Boom, I'll go with that level. But the truth is that God spoke it into existence. He says He created the heavens and the earth. When you see in this verse here, look at verse 2. And the earth was out, form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Verse 3. And God said, somebody saying, God said. You, this is going to appear 10 times in these next few verses. That God said, the power of the spoken word. When it comes to our lives, that we need to realize there's power in the words. I said there's power in the words. Sometimes we can talk ourselves into being more sick. Oh, I don't feel good. I think I'm going to get worse. Say amen. How many of us, sometimes we can speak negative in this situation or run somebody down? I'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus said, I spoke and things happened. When I look at that, God said in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts thereof by the breath of His mouth. When I look at God, He's going to frame and furnish the whole universe. Think about that God you're going to be with forever. Think about the great variety there. There's some great places on this planet. There's some beautiful things. If you got outside this area, even if you go up in the Keweenaw Peninsula up north, man, there's some beautiful sights there. Some great streams and rock formations. You get outside of this state. Have you ever seen a mountain before? It's beautiful. How about a sea or a beach? I mean, those beaches are pretty good. Amen? How many want to start a secondary church on the beach somewhere? Fly there and come back. Only one person has their hand up. Tiffany, you can go there. Amen. There's great beauty. But when we look at this earth, there's great exactness. There's great accuracy. There's great power and great order. Think about it. We hold ourselves so much distance from the sun, yet we still circle. We can breathe every day. It's amazing how God has placed us in the right place at the right time. When you read this name of God, it means Elohim. El or El signifies the strong God. Elohim signifies a plurality of persons, like the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We serve an awesome and mighty Creator. In John 1 verse 3 says this, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing that was made that was made. When I look at Him, He made it all. And He looked over that form and void and He spoke and something happened. How many want to see that power come back to the church? Come on. I want to see that manifest in our areas. God said He spoke and things changed. I love that. And if you think about it, we're going to be with Him forever. Isn't that awesome? The God who can create this out of nothing, we're going to live with Him forever. There's never going to be a day that'll seem boring or normal. Every day we're going to see that Creator. Can you ever just imagine the vastness of His wisdom? That He can arrange it all and it all works together. Verse 3, Genesis 1, 3. And God said, let there be light. And what was there? How many of us, what God spoke? When He spoke that area, it means like this. He willed, He decreed, He appointed, He determined by the will, I'm going to make this happen. And there was an instant result. I want to see more instant results from the words we speak to help people in their life. Yeah. I like praying for people. I understand seed time and harvest. But if somebody needs a miracle, I want it to manifest. Because they need it now. They don't need it a week from now. Oh, I'm preaching now. They don't need it next month. I mean, I was like, man, I want to deal with that. Lord, I want it to happen now. I mean, the Lord can still do that. When Jesus prayed for people, did something happen? How many want to see those results? We can't use excuses why it isn't happening. I don't want to have any. I don't want to say it's because of this or God did this before. No, it's still a now God. We can hide behind things and say, well, all the miracles passed away with the apostles. That's just hiding. We need to step out in that area and say, you know what? We're all accountable for what needs to go on. Is this good today? Words have power. Power to build up or to destroy. In Proverbs 12, verse 6, the words of the wicked are like, they wait for blood. But the mouth of the righteous, they deliver. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Then, Lord, I want to speak what is right. Amen? When if somebody is ill and has an issue, listen, this may be nice. Oh, I feel sorry for you. I'm so sorry for you. I'll be like, no, I want to see you whole. Amen? Amen? You know, and when Jesus does it, it's a whole lot cheaper than your medical bills. Say amen. Amen. He paid it in full. Yes. Then, Lord, I want to walk in that. Have I arrived yet? No, but bless God, I'm not what I used to be either. I'm walking in that arena just like all of you. Is that a good confession? Listen, too many pastors are still in chariots being chauffeured around when God wants us to lead from the front. Yes. Say amen. Oh, that's good preaching. If you're visiting with us, you're no longer a visitor, so amen. We need to watch what we say. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, do not let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, necessary for edification, that it'll impart grace to the hearers. Could you imagine Jesus coming up and my sister had a problem? Oh, your problem's terminal. There's no hope for you. Who's next? Let's get into healing. All right, well, you know what? I got enough power to heal four of you. I'm sorry, the next eight, you're on your own. How many think that would speak some defeated things in our life? You were the next one to get prayed for. Oh, can't do it. How many of us, you'd walk away with devastation? You'd walk away more hurt than ever. As the church, we need to say, you know what? We're going to build you up. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to see the miracle manifest. We need to agree together. Now, last night I was in prayer, and I had a time in prayer, and the Lord spoke a word to me. He says, the people are praying for me to move. I don't know who you are. I didn't call you on the phone in that arena, but you're praying for God to move. As your pastor, I love to hear that from the Holy Ghost. Come on. That means we're entering into that place privately so God can do it publicly. In Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so you know how to answer everyone. When Jesus came, he spoke this world into existence. But the words that he speaks are spirit and they are life. When I see death and destruction coming, it's not from the Lord. And woe unto us if we're the ones that are speaking that. Maybe we're not speaking destruction, but I don't believe that the Lord can do that. You just believe that. Oh, that's that way. Oh, you're just one of those. You know what? I am Holy Ghost person. I am a tongue-talking, devil-stomping Christian. I'm not ashamed of that. What do you want me to be? Lukewarm? Bottle-fed? And worthless? I'll be nice. In John 6, verse 63, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Could you imagine Jesus showing up to church and speaking? Believe me, he didn't just do this. Okay, you all praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm 1. How many of Jesus got into it? He's a preacher. He is. He spoke. He said, when people left there, he goes, no man spoke like him. He would stir it up so much, people didn't like him. Some of the religious folks wanted to throw him off of a cliff after a sermon. Maybe we're trying to be too nice to everybody. Too politically correct to speak the truth anymore. Come on, if the word offends you, you needed it. Because we're already offended. We just need a change in that. We need humility to begin to set back in. And here's the next thing. When is it all about you anyways? It's all about him. Lord, let me change. Am I kicking over every rock this morning? Remember, you got to love me because Jesus said to. Paul said this, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and also be acquainted with the suffering, Philippians 3:10. It's a lot more than just, hey, why do I want this power? Why do I want the power of God to work? So it changes me and it changes other people. Amen. I want the power to work in our church because we need miracles. Let me ask you here in this room, how many in here need a physical touch in your body? Lift your hand. Keep it high. You need a physical touch. Look around, church. That means we need it. We need it. We need to start saying, hey, God, we need it. I have read of a pastor that preached about healing in his church, and he said over 90% of my people now are walking in health. Be it unto us. Is the word still the same? Did Jesus say, greater works shall you do because I go to my Father? Then we have to look at that and say, Lord, it's not you, it's not your word, it's not your spirit, it's me. Then God, I want to change. Amen? I've learned that whatever we're preaching, God's in a movement to working. If you're preaching souls to be saved, you're going to get souls saved. That's a good thing. Well, we need the whole council. We need souls. We need healing. We need deliverance. We need it all in our midst. So we need to have that in our vocabulary, in our prayer time. How many want to know that power? When God speaks, things happen. If you take notes, in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that are seen were not made by those things that are visual. It means God said, hey, you see that tree? I made that. I spoke that into existence. I am the creator. That same creative power, he's given us a portion too. And when I look how brilliant Adam was, we've kind of fell a long way from that. Then Lord, I want the mind of Christ. The Bible says that whatever animal God brought by Adam, whatever he called it, he accepted that the name. That's pretty brilliant. So if you think you're going to be a dumbbell in heaven, you won't be. Isn't that cool? Say amen. In the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Whatever God said became a reality. Well, when we come to the church today, I want you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If the Lord wants to heal, then we have to step out on that word and see that word work. And I'm just not talking about something you can't see. If somebody has an ailment, can God heal an arm as well as a cold? But sometimes we focus in on, oh, that's going to take a whole lot more to change that than it is to change that. Same with God. All things are, he can do the same. He said this, is it easier for me to save or to heal? I have power to do both. Rise up and walk. Come on, that church says get to that place where we start to trust him. But we also, in this arena, there has to be a step of faith. It isn't just like presto change-o. We have to place ourselves. Jesus always placed himself where the word could put a demand on and things could happen. Amen? What God does, he always accomplishes the goal. His word accomplishes the goal. In Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall the word of my mouth go forth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish what it pleases and shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. When God's word goes forth, it will accomplish the goal. I've even seen the Lord do a miracle when somebody isn't even in the room. Can he do that? Amen. I was talking to Robert Lamusio. We've been praying for him and his kidneys. It was down to 17%. The doctor called him back a week later, says, you know what? I don't know what's happening, but you're up to 27% now. I saw him the other day. He was feeling a whole lot better. I mean, I said, then that's cool. Then we're looking for 100%. Yeah. I said, we're looking for 100%. God always accomplishes the goals. Does he care about souls? Yes or no? Does he care about purity? Does he care about the power we walk in? Does he care about the success we walk in? Then all these become a goal. Then he comes like, Lord, this is what you're into. Then God, I'm going to speak that arena. I'm going to walk in that area. We all need it. Amen? And Joshua 1:8 says this, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate it day and night to observe all that is written. For then you will be prosperous and have good success. Amen? I want you to turn to John chapter 4, if you would. I got a lot to cover this morning. John chapter 4. I want you to see something here. Everyone in this room this morning, you have a measure of faith. God made sure you got a measure. For a measure to grow greater, it must have the right ingredients and added to. Not taken from, but added to. Tell me when you find John chapter 4, the Gospel of John. Chapter 4, look at verse 46. So then Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, where he made water wine. And there was a certain nobleman his son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and he brought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said unto him, except we see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Then the nobleman says unto him, sir, come down, or my child are going to die. And Jesus said to him, go your way, thy son lives. And the man, what's the next word there? Somebody say believed. He believed the word that Jesus spoke and went his way. And when he had gone down, his servants came to him and says, thy son lives. And he inquired what time? At that same hour. I mean, as Jesus spoke a word in another area, the man believed the word. At the moment the man believed the word, the son became better. Lord, just speak a word. And when you speak a word, I want to believe it. How many want to believe what he said? Remember, that creative power went forth and did. And he said and it did. I love that. Parents, you can stand in the gap for your kids. And God will hear you. He'll stand in the gap for your parents. He can stand in the gap for your neighbor. God will hear. Notice he inquired at that very hour. Now, let me say this to you. What if your kid was ready to die? Notice where the man went to. He didn't run from Jesus or blame Jesus. He went to Jesus. Too many people are like, you get so distracted. You need to get with God in that situation. Oh, I'm preaching now. Too many are like, yeah, I should do that, but now I need to go do this instead. No, he said he spoke to him. He got to him. Jesus had crowds around him. Sometimes you got to push in with your faith. Push in because you'll hear a word. And when you're in prayer, be obedient to what God is speaking. Is this good? And from that same hour, he even asked, when did it happen? And it doesn't say the exact time, but I'll just put one in here. You know what? At 10:30, that happened. Oh, I just talked to Jesus right at that same time. When he spoke the word, it changed the situation. When God said, let there be, it changed the situation. Out of chaos, out of void, a miracle manifest. How many want to walk in that faith? We can say yay and yay, but how many knows when you're in that situation, it's another thing. When your mortality is tested, it's another thing. Lord, let me have the same faith. Amen? Come on, I've been in those situations. I have been. Lord, you'll see me through your God. Amen? I've also had a confession like this. Lord, if I'm done, you'll take me home. I'm with you. Either way, I win. God, bring it through. I want to be able to speak that. Well, what about this? Don't bother the master. He's busy. Just go on. Don't bother the master. That woman says, you know what? I'm going to touch him. Who touched me? Jesus said. Lord, so many did. No, healing virtue went out of me. Notice that he possessed that in his vessel. We also, don't we have the Spirit of God in us? Don't we? Then why can't God flow through us and make a difference for somebody else? then my speech and my conduct and my actions need to be the same. I need to cancel all that out. I don't know what it took for this gentleman to go, you know what? You just speak a word and my kid's going to be healed. Now, notice that he asked Jesus to come over. What if Jesus wasn't going to come over but still wanted to do the miracle? Would you get ticked off that he himself didn't come over and lay hands on you? What if it was a child that the Lord directed to pray for you? Oh, no, no, no. Somebody's got to be older to come pray for me. I know sometimes we can even cop an attitude with that. I've seen it in Scripture where Nahum had leprosy and the prophet said, go dunk yourself 7 times in that dirty water, the 7th time you're going to be whole. And he got ticked off. He thought he was going to come out and the prophet was going to pray for him. He just sent a word through a servant. Thankful that the servant was wise enough. Listen, if he told you to charge that beachhead or take that castle, you would do it. But since he just told you to junk it, dump in the water, you'd get offended. And when he followed in obedience, his skin was like brand new. Come on. I mean, we got to be humble in this. What God says, do. Sometimes you may feel like you're isolated. You're stepping on the word of God. Jesus spoke the word, the man believed, and it was done. Everything that exists came about by words. Didn't God say? 10 times he said it in those first couple of chapters. And he said, let there be, let there be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God said, it was so. God called it, and it was good. He knows that our bodies are frail. He didn't bring in sin, we did. And he knew the ultimate sin, listen to me, brought forth death. One day we'll shed this body and we'll have a new body likened unto Christ. Amen. But until then, I want to have a good journey. I want to have a good journey. Yes. I do. I want to have a good journey that when the Lord's done with us, you close your eyes, you're in glory. I don't like it when people suffer. I hate it. Then, Lord God, I want to have that good journey like you gave Moses. Yeah. Amen. The words we speak can be dynamic, creative, or they can be destructive or divisive. As the church, we need to have words that are speaking life. No words we speak are without significance. Even casual conversations affect the situation. That's why be careful. Whispers divide friends. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10, there are many languages, many in this world, but none of them are without significance. 1 Corinthians 14:10. God made us to be eternal beings. We have an eternal future. Come on. And you know what? Your destiny will be set on what you believed and what you spoke in this lifetime. I've seen people do this. I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. I don't care if I go to hell. Guess what? He's real and you will. That was your choice. One day you'll see that you missed it. But I've seen others do this. Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. Come into my life and change me. That person has got it right. You can choose life or you can choose death. It's all up to you. If you say you don't care, I don't believe that. Maybe you just need to identify. Lord, help me. Amen. Like God's kids, I want you to hear this. Words can edify, they can identify, and they can multiply. When it comes to edify, edification, they're encouragement. That means anything is built up. Edified means there's a spiritual structure being built and strengthened. We can speak to one another and encourage one another. I encourage you, when there's times of prayer at the altar, come. Well, somebody will see me. I don't care if you come 100 times. Be obedient to what God has. Well, the Lord, if he wants to touch me, he can do right where I'm at. Sure he can. But I've noticed that when you take a step, he seems to meet you with that arena. Amen? Now, if somebody is hurting, I mean, it's that we need to build them up. That's the first step. I want everyone to be built up. But I don't want them just to be built up. I want them to be whole. Which leads me to this. Identification. Notice God called. He said, let there be light. Each thing God made, he gave identification to it. Identification is just not a term that we observe, but rather what's like designated. What I mean by that is this. Say that you're growing up in life and your family said you're worthless, you'll never amount to nothing. Your self-esteem got a little bit lower, true? Sometimes you may even said, you know what, I'm going to prove you wrong. You try to step up. So you've identified the words of being this and it brought you down. When God identifies something, he doesn't call anybody rubbish. He doesn't call anybody idiots. He calls you my own. You're my kids. I call you lost. You're separate from me. So when he identifies those things, he's never looking at it to say, I'm going to label you as evil. I'm going to say, listen to me, you need me identified. God has identified we were lost. That's what he speaks about mankind. You're lost in your sin. I'm going to pave the way so you can get it right. Is this good for you all here this morning? Bondages in life are also a result of human words that have brought us down. I mean, we need to build some people up. Sometimes we want Jesus to be Lord, and the whole thing, their father's been terrible to them. Lord, help them out, Jesus. Show them. Amen? In this world, we need to be loving and supportive. It builds self-worth. The church has a part to play here. It can't do it all, but it needs to represent our Father appropriately. Here's the big thing about all this. However you were raised, however you were born, whatever you came in, you can get born again by the Spirit. So God can even level the playing field, even if it wasn't that rosy. Amen? Some of the greatest Christians in the world came out of environments that weren't that great. Can't even tell today. God's doing a work. Amen? How many want to identify with Christ? Listen, depreciation is all around us. Vain things are all around us. We've grown inadequate because of it. But when we're built up in the Spirit, you know what? We have support. If you know God's going to do something, you have a confidence, don't you? I want you to come in knowing God's going to do some great things. Lord, what is it today? On Wednesday mornings, if you're ever off of work or you're home, we have a prayer meeting here on Wednesday mornings that is unbelievably Holy Ghost. There are signs and wonders that are happening on Wednesday mornings. God will speak a word to another servant about a family member, and they don't even know who the family member is. And we build upon that. God's speaking a word to help out. The power of words is to identify. But it also is frightening when we tear people down. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What do you think he's going to speak to you? He'll try to rose color it. Oh, you don't need the Lord. Oh, how about this to Jesus? Took him on the pinnacle of the top of the mount. Took him on the highest point of the building. Okay, just jump down from this point. The angels will give charge over you. That is actually a scriptural reference. But Satan wanted to tempt Jesus to use his own power to meet his own needs. God doesn't do that. He doesn't tempt you. He doesn't tell you to go play out in traffic. God will spare you. Amen? If he didn't tell you to jump out of an airplane without a parachute, you're going to go splat. You're going to meet him and go, Lord, I missed it. Say amen. Don't tempt the Lord your God, but he'll see you through. I've had him help me in miracles in car wrecks, personally. I've had him speak to me, get out of the way as a steel wall fell and didn't crush me. How much God's able to protect? He's able to help those things. But we don't tempt him, we walk with him, which leads me to this. God wants to bring multiplication. He has edification, he has identification, but there's also multiplication. In Genesis 1, verse 28, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and on everything that moves on the earth. It doesn't say have dominion over people. Say amen. How many knows we're together in all this? But all that hey, I put it under you. God blessed them and said what? Be fruitful and what? As a church, we need to be fruitful and multiply. That means the womb of the Spirit is mature enough to give birth to new believers. Then, Lord, mature your church. Oh, I can preach on that. Come on. The church doesn't need to be sterile when it can be fruitful. It isn't us. Bless God, us, and no more. Amen? It's like whomsoever will may come. When he blesses, it's the characteristic of him. He multiplies life. As a church, we are called to edification. We are called to identification, and we're called to multiply. Remember Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Say amen. Well, if I'm in looking to encourage, then God multiply the seed sown. I plant one kernel, I'm going to get a whole stalk or a whole ear. I'm looking for that. But I'm not going to eat all my harvest. I'm going to make sure I reinvest those seeds to produce. Now, I did a lot of planting when I was growing up. They have engineered seeds now that they love to sell because they grow once and you can't reproduce it. So it forces the farmer to buy all new seed every year. They make more revenue. When we used to farm, we used to take a portion of the grain that was brought in. We would bag it and put it into a cool, dry place so we could reuse that the following year. It gave us a heads up. It also was more beneficial and profitable. Amen? There's a reason why they engineered it so it dies. How many knows it's all money? But it doesn't do our bodies much good either. Knowing they've engineered death into the situation. Oh, we don't talk about that, do we? The truth is that the church should be one that, you know what? There are enough seed. If you're hungry, here, partake. Amen? I've never seen an apple just give one apple. That would be a worthless tree, wouldn't it? There's more apples on the tree. A Christian should have more love than just for themselves. There should be enough for other people, enough joy for other people. We need to produce that. That isn't a self-manufactured thing. Are you enjoying this morning? I'm going to close with this. In Matthew 12, verse 36, it says, "But I say unto you, every idle word a man speaks, he'll give account of it on the day of judgment. For by the words you are justified, and by the words you shall be condemned." When I look at that, one day God will hold an account of our speech on this planet, what we believed. And this is a scary fact for me. Can you imagine giving account of every idle word you ever spoken? Not one, not a sentence, not a slip up. But every word, when somebody ends up going to hell, they can't blame the Lord. It's like there will be volumes of what you spoke, libraries, every action, every thought, every deed, and you will give an account of that. You will judge yourself guilty. But the good news is when you get your life right, all that is blotted out. The transgressions are blotted out. The handwriting of ordinances are blotted out. That's a great thing. I wasn't forgiven of one sin. I was forgiven of a library of sins. Yeah. Actions in my life. I am so thankful I'm saved. And I want others to know that that's a free gift. You can have that anytime, anywhere. Lord, I want it. Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Pastor, I need to get my life right with God." You can today. Don't leave without service without doing it. Maybe you're here this morning and your speech needs to change. Lord, I need to work on this. That's being honest. Lord, help me in this area. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to see the Lord use you in a greater way. Then Lord, I'm going to couple my faith with yours, God. I want to believe your word and stand out. See that miraculous done. We need it, church. Our speech needs to be that which is Christ. We need to have edification, identification, and multiplication working. If we do, God will do great things. Are you hearing me this morning? Now we're going to make it serious. I want to ask you, church, who in here this morning say, "Pastor, I need to get my life right with the Lord." Just lift up your hand. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to pray for you. Anyone else join me? Say, "Pastor, I need to get some things right." Okay? I see it. You can put them down. Secondly, here is, I mean, your speech needs to change some. It's not that you're being evil, but I need to speak faith. Maybe a little comment here or there. Lord, I need to guard my tongue. Anybody else? Okay. The third thing here is, I'm going to want to see the Lord do more than ever. You want God to flow through you, and your confession is, "My God's able." I'm with you, church. I want to see more. Now, this may be different for you. You may not know the person, but gently grab the hand of somebody next to you. There's somebody in every row, and I want to close in prayer this way. Church, I'm going to ask you to pray this with me in faith. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. I ask you to blot out every transgression, everything, Lord Jesus, that I've done wrong. I believe that you died for me. And I believe that you rose from the dead. So this morning, right now, I'm saved and I'm forgiven. Lord Jesus, help me with my speech, that it's pure, that it edifies, that identifies, and it also multiplies. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, use us to see this world touched by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you this morning. God bless you. Amen. God is good.